Good morning. Merry Christmas. Hey, we're still early in this season. We got a lot to go. I said Merry Christmas to somebody in a store the other day. It was on Friday. You know, here, second day of Christmas, and they looked at me like I was crazy. We're done with that. We're taking down all the decorations. It's time for Valentine's Day or something else. No. We're in the middle of Christmas. This is a great season to be in, and much like Easter, we get a season to celebrate Christmas, not a day. And that season is given to us because there's so much more that we can talk about and pray about and live within the season than just a day, than just a moment. And so today we get, I think, one of the great feasts of the church, the Feast of the Holy Family. It's given to us, and it's one of the few days we get to maybe focus a little bit on Joseph. I think Joseph gets shortchanged on this deal. We talk about him in the very beginning. You know, the angel came to me. Okay, I won't put her away. Okay, I'll take him to Egypt. But beyond that, we don't hear a lot about Joseph. We hear a lot about Mary. Obviously, we hear a lot about Jesus, and I think that's rightly so. But we don't hear a lot about Joseph. But the Holy Family gives us a moment to look at the life of this family growing up. Jesus as a child. Jesus, like you and me, going out and playing in the streets. I don't know what games I might have played. It probably wasn't kickball, but maybe it was kickball. Maybe it was something fun. I don't think that Jesus came out of the womb and you know, we had this moment of, because he was divine, he didn't have fun. No. Jesus was a child too. He grew up. He did the things that children do. And this family grew up, and this family did things that families do. And so we hear in the first reading this morning, prophetically, about how important the family is. That it is so important. The family is a unit, and it's not merely the family of a husband and a wife and children, but it's family beyond that. It's extended family, not just genetic extended family, but extended family in the sense of a church family, and in the sense of a society family. We're called to care for one another. We hear the passage this morning from Colossians is one that's very commonly used in weddings because it gives us the attributes that lead us to a loving relationship. And I've often said, Paul writes this in two different places, one in Corinthians and the other one in Colossians, where it's a very similar message. And if we listen to the words there of those attributes, we begin to go, those aren't very human. Being peaceable and kind and caring, it's not that we don't think those things are good, of course we do, but they're things we have to work at. They don't just happen organically all the time, every day of our life. But we have to work at those things. And those things lead us to loving relationships with our family immediate, but also with our family extended. And we're called to live in that love. We're called to be a loving, caring, nurturing people. Why? Because that's what Christ has shown us as the right example. And I don't know about you, but I can't look at the image of the Holy Family, not the picture image, but the image of what we're given in Scripture. I can't look at that image and not see a desperately loving family. I mean, let's look at some of the things we talked about the last few weeks. Let's look at Mary making the decision to say yes. There's only one way she could have made that decision, and it was out of love. I would argue that 99 of 100 people, even good people, when posed with the situation that Mary was posed with, go, whoa, this is too much for me to handle. I can't do this. I'm too young for this. But Mary was at a place in her relationship with God that when that call came in her life, she was able to say yes as an expression of love. She didn't say, wait a minute, I'm engaged, I got to go talk to Joseph. I got to make sure he's on board. No, I got to go talk to mom and dad, make sure they're not going to be mad about this. She replied yes out of love. And much the same way Joseph, when the angel comes to him and shares with him what's about to happen, the scriptures tell us that he thought to himself, I'll put her away quietly. He had some thoughts along those lines, but when the angel Gabriel said, no, wait, she's done nothing wrong. This child is a gift given to her by the Holy Spirit. Joseph responded with a loving yes. I will do what I've been asked to do. I don't understand it. I don't know what all entails. I mean, Egypt wasn't that conversation for all that we know. But Joseph said yes to God. He answered yes. And he answered yes out of love. The story we get today in our gospel reading is a story of Jesus. Not still in Bethlehem, probably they've gone back home. They're setting up their normal life, and all of a sudden, there's bad news on the horizon. There's probably going to be a Western written with this story. You know, bad stuff's coming. We got to get out of Dodge. But the Lord comes to Joseph and says, there's bad stuff coming, but I've got a plan for you. I want you to take the family and I want you to go to Egypt. Now, if going to Bethlehem while Mary was getting ready to have a child just so they could be counted in the census wasn't enough, now you got to take this new family, you got to uproot them yet again, and you got to take them to Egypt, a foreign land. But Joseph says, yes, out of his love of God and his understanding that God's plan is better for him than he could have for himself. And so Joseph takes his family sacrificially and moves them to Egypt, where they stay for a season. They stay there for a while. They stay there and Jesus begins to grow up and be nurtured. It wasn't an overnight stay. In fact, the scripture we heard this morning in the gospel is this passage that says, and they stayed there until King Herod had died. Now, we don't know quite how many years that was, but they stayed there for a while. And it wasn't until God came to Joseph and said to him, it's now safe to go back, that he picked up his family once again and traveled back to his homeland, back to Israel. But lo and behold, as he gets ready to make that trip, he realizes, wait a minute, King Herod's son is now in charge. And if King Herod wasn't good, his son probably isn't good either. You know, the apples don't fall very far from the tree. So we can't go back to the area where his son is ruling. We got to go somewhere else. So they went into Galilee. And you think God doesn't have a plan. Scriptures told us this morning. Part of that was because, and so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, that Jesus might be called a Nazarene. See, God knew long before this stuff going on what was going to be necessary. What Joseph and Mary and Jesus did is they maintained the nuclear family. It didn't matter if they were in Egypt. It didn't matter if they were in Bethlehem. It didn't matter if they were in Nazareth. They were a family and they were going to raise this child as their own. And they were going to care for him and nurture him just as we care and nurture for our children, because there were big plans on the horizon. God had a bigger story than they could imagine. Yes, I firmly believe that Mary knew from the very beginning that Jesus was special. I think that she believed that he was divine. I believe all those things. Why? Because Scripture tells us that. It's what she agreed to. But I don't think Mary could have imagined how life was going to unfold with that child. How could she? But she agreed to be that child's mother and to care for him. And Joseph agreed to be that child's father and to care for him. And they collectively agreed to be the Holy Family and to give you and I a living example of sacrifice and love for others. I've often said, when I first had a child show up in my life, you know, never could have dreamed how much it was going to change my life. Might have fought against it if I'd known how much it was going to change my life. But I wouldn't have changed my life back given the opportunity. I think that God gives us a special gift of love for children in our life. I think God gives us a special gift of love for family in our life. But I want to say this to you this morning, that we are called to be part of the Holy Family. We're not just called to look upon the Holy Family and see them as example. We're called to be integrated into their life of the Holy as a Holy Family. And what does that mean for you and I 2,000 years later? It means that as we go through this world around us, we're called to sacrificially love others. To offer our love for them. Doesn't mean we always have to like them. Doesn't mean we're always going to get along with them. But we're called to love them and care for them as Christ loved and cares for us. May we be a living example of the Holy Family. And may God's love be shared with all that we meet. Amen.